Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening, and we do give everyone a very warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord tonight. And we want to turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, and I want really to talk about the miracles of the Lord. But you know, when you start to study it, it's on end. It's really on end. And you know, this here's a miracle book. This is a miracle book. And you have to start in the Old Testament. When you start in the Old Testament, you see the miracles. Then you come to the New Testament. So really, tonight's message is maybe just an introductory. I don't know many sermons you would preach on the miracles of the Lord, but tonight I want to preach about the miracles, signs, and wonders. And let us stand for the reading of the Word of God. And let's read from verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. And Peter here is explaining Pentecost. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That's Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, and this is my key verse tonight. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by theological sermons. Nope. By the college. Nope. By miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Let us bow our heads this evening again while we ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. We declare your name in this building tonight. And we declare your name over everyone in this building, the name of Jesus Christ. We plead your blood in this building and over it and over all in it. And all that's near and dear to us, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Cover us with your blood. Wash us in your blood. Cleanse us. Sanctify us. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. We claim all of our children, everyone representative in this house, we claim them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit, and I thank you, you do undertake for me. Now, bless your word, bind the devil, and the accuser of the brethren you say shall cast down. Lord, you said in Psalms 112, I will set him in safety from them that puff at him. Lord, lift your people, I pray, for we know when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against them. Your word is that standard. Help us with your word, understand it, to believe it, to act upon it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. You know, the supernatural power of God that confirmed the ministry of the first century believers was lost for a long time. Did you know that? When you search church history, you'll find that. From Pentecost to now, it did not continue the way it was at Pentecost. That's not the way it continued. For a long time, there was no supernatural. And for a long time, theologians wrote books and they disregarded totally the supernatural. And even in this country, when you read about the 1859 revival and you read about other revivals, it's almost like here, depends what side you read it from. Now that's the truth. If it's not from someone that knows about a Pentecost experience, they bring it from that side. But if it's someone that believes in the supernatural, they will add in the supernatural that happened. Now the Bible is a miracle book, because God is a God of miracles. God is a God of signs and wonders. He is a miracle working God. God never changes, but people can. Church ages can. But God himself never changes. Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, to qualify what I'm saying here of the early Christianity, that was a lot of things were obliterated during the Dark Ages, except for rare cases. And you know, even the Church of England, when you take the beliefs they once had, they no longer believe them, many of them today. And I've studied it and I know what I'm talking about. And you have men like Ryle, that was a tremendous man of God, and other men, and what they preached has not been preached today. Amen. But God's word still remains the same. God's miracle powers did not regain its rightful place in the gospel ministry until the turn of the 20th century, and that's the truth. And at the turn of the 20th century, when God began to manifest again, you know, you had the Azusa Street revival, and God began to pour out of his spirit upon his people again, like the book of Acts. And you had men like the Jeffrey brothers, who came the whole way over here to Northern Ireland, and they started the Elam Church, and that was a tremendous move of God back in that time. But they were influenced from them early Azusa Street, and there's many men in England that you never hear mentioned in books or anything, tremendous men of God, Pentecostal. Now, when you read about the book of Acts and you read about Peter and John and these men, they're Pentecostal. They're absolutely Pentecostal, because the Lord told them, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. And wasn't it wonderful how Brother Laurie shared his own testimony, how the Lord, he was seeking the Holy Spirit, and how the Lord led him to get the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:22. Jesus of Nazareth, approved of God among you by miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, when you study, if people say, you know, somebody wrote a good book on miracles, that's good, but this is the best book. This here Bible is the best book you'll ever read on miracles. This is a miraculous book. And when you go in and start to study the miracles of the Lord and the miracles of the Old Testament, it's really a tremendous blessing. Because there's so many miracles in the Old Testament and so many miracles in the New Testament. And God uses miracles. They're signs that do something. Without the miraculous validation of the good news, and the gospel's the good news, without the miraculous validation of the gospel, Christianity cannot be proven. It can't be proven to be more than another religion, really. And T.L. Osborne shared that in his own personal testimony. When he went out, they had the Quran, he had the Bible. Their book was black, he was black. They quoted from their book and he quoted from his book. But once he had a visitation from the Lord,
And when he seen the power of God demonstrated before him, and a voice went over his own head and said, "You can do it as well." The next time he went out to India, the power of God moved. And he didn't try any spectacular thing, because he was told not to. He was told not to be seeking any after any extravagant thing, because he didn't need to. He was told to preach a simple gospel, and God would confirm it. The signs following. And I have the films of T.L. Osborne in India. Brother Freeborn gave me a load of films. I did show them, as mentioned before, but I didn't want to keep showing them, because there's some things on them. Maybe for younger people, wouldn't have been the wisdom to show them. You understand what I'm saying? Because the film showed everything. People that were naked, that he preached to. And when they got saved, they clothed themselves and so forth. And they worshipped all sorts of things over in India and did all sorts of things. But the power of God moved. Now, I'm only using that man as an example. There's many others as well. Every word that Jesus Christ preached and taught, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles he done. When they saw the miracles he done. In John 2, verse 23, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles he done." The Lord done many miracles. If you take the miracles out of your Bible, you do no longer have a Bible. Because the ministry of Jesus Christ is based 85% of it on miracles. I tell you, I would to God that God would come amongst us in a greater way. That we would have the power of God amongst us. And that we would get rid of the fear and unbelief and start to believe God for the supernatural. Acts 2:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now if Jesus needed to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, surely every preacher's going to be need to be anointed with the same Holy Ghost and power. How can we expect to get by with less than what the Lord had himself? And I mean that in the, not that you're going to be the Lord, but I mean in the sense we need the Holy Spirit if he needed it. And I know you can get all into theology and run the oneness right down to one, but there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Three in heaven, three in earth. I know it says per record, but you know that Jesus is not his own Father. He cannot be, and he's not. And the Bible says he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world in the bosom of Father. And we know that the dove came on him at the Jordan River. And we know that a prophet of God said God left him at Gethsemane. And there's one thing you and me know tonight, God cannot die, but Jesus died. He died as a man. And God raised him from the dead. Amen. So he had the Holy Spirit, and we know he had the Holy Spirit. God was in him in fullness. We know that. I believe that. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm trying to bring over is we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit. He's our example. And we need the Holy Spirit. Look what Mark said after Jesus was taken up into heaven following his resurrection. Mark 16:20. "And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with them." Brothers and sisters, we need the Lord to work with us. It's not important if somebody else works with you. It is important that the Lord works with you. Amen. The Lord worked with them, confirming the word, with signs following. So when they preached, the signs followed it. Because the Lord was with them. Hallelujah. The Lord worked with them. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord would work with you? Then you know you're not your own, the Lord's with you. Look what the writer of the book of Hebrews says in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first was preached, began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Verse 4, and God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. So when people pray, would it be God's will? Here the Bible says He's done the signs, the wonders, and the miracles according to His own will. So it was God's will to do signs, it was God's will to do wonders, and it was God's will to do miracles. Now my Bible tells me in Malachi 3:6, and the Lord thy God changed not, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it was the Lord's will to do signs and wonders then, it's the Lord's will to do signs and wonders now. But the problem is, Jesus in one place said He could do very little because of their unbelief. And people today are taught unbelief. They're taught unbelief. How do you get faith? Hearing by the word of God. But hearing the sound test will not produce faith. I'm sorry. The Bible says don't heed the scientists.
Amen.
Our country has been led by scientists. Our government's been led by scientists. And many Christians are being led by scientists. But the Bible says the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the Bible,
amen.
Not the scientist.
Yes, amen.
Now the scientist is a believer. That's good. He'll follow the Bible then. But if he's not, he won't. Sure, he could be an atheist. He could be against God. He could scientifically try and prove there is no God. And people follow that type of a scientist. The Bible says that the blind lead the blind. They'll both fall in the ditch. But Jesus Christ has sent us light.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that Zechariah shall be light at the evening time.
Amen.
We're living at the evening time. That's the last days. And God has sent light. And the Bible says His word is a lamp under our feet and a light unto our path. We want the word of God. Amen. Praise God. Paul the Apostle also says in Romans 15, verse 18, 19, that God writes spiritual miracles through His ministry. People say so much it's nothing to do with a man, but God uses man. God uses man. And Paul said, follow me, for I follow Christ. Amen. Paul didn't preach himself to you. I showed you one other week that Paul stood against those that baptized in their own name. And he said, I'm glad I baptized none of you. And he pointed them to the Lord. So a true servant of God will do that. Look at verse 18, 19 of Romans 15. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. Paul experienced the things he preached. Amen. Oh, and when you really don't understand that, Paul experienced the things he preached. How could I preach to you if I'd been born again if I wasn't born again? How could I preach to you about a baptism of the Holy Spirit if I didn't even believe in it? How could I preach to you of gifts of Spirit if I never used any of them and didn't believe in them? You have to believe the thing you're preaching. Paul believed what he preached. To make the Gentiles obedient by the word and deed. Amen. The word and the deed. Praise God. Through mighty signs and wonders. By the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Acharon, I might be saying that right, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The gospel of who? Christ. Amen. He didn't call it any other gospel. He called it the gospel of Christ. And it's Christ's gospel. And the gospel of Christ is unchanged. His power is unchanged. His message is unchanged. His ministry is unchanged. And His presence is unchanged. Amen. Over 14 centuries without the miraculous. But God brought it back. Amen. The dark ages. Many church of the dark ages. Well, it means what it says. But as the early church gained in political influence and popularity, they waned in the spiritual power. Miracles were no longer considered vital to the ministry. And it's not sad still today that people no longer consider the miracle in the ministry. Oh, we're preaching the gospel. We don't need miracles. But when the disciples preached the gospel, miracles followed them. It was part of the gospel, the miracles. Amen. The supernatural was so completely extinguished from public worship and Christian teaching that many historical churches today believe and teach that when the apostles died, miracles ceased. That's what they'll tell you. It all finished up with the last of the 12 apostles. I remember some years ago, I was just a young fellow, I'm still young as well. Feeling real young tonight. Now, there was no amens, not what I'll amen myself. Go ahead, brother. But listen, Moses was 120 years of age, and the Bible says his eyes wasn't even dim. Glory!
Praise God. No matter what age you are, brother or sister, just you're young in the Lord.
Amen? But many years ago, a man said to me, and he took this statement, he said, the miracles finished with the last of the 12 apostles. I said, brother, before I answer you, are you really sure on that? Absolutely. Our group preaches it and believes it. I says, well, I can take the foundation from that right now in one moment. But I want to give you a chance again. Are you sure? Absolutely. I says, well, tell me then what you do with Apostle Paul. He wasn't one of the original 12. What do you do with him? He was not one of the original 12. Because the 12 was called when the Lord was here on earth. And after Jesus went back to heaven and sat at the right hand of the majesty on high, Paul persecuted the church. And he held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. But when he came along the road to Damascus, a bright light shined upon him like as the noonday. And he fell down on his horse like a dead man. And the voice said, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus. And he had a visitation from God. And while he had a visitation from God, the angel of the Lord met another man and said, there's a fellow called Paul's coming your road. You're going to be praying for him. And I'm going to baptize him in the Holy Ghost and open his eyes. God was already preparing someone else, and Paul was blinded. Amen. And he got into a place called straight. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of people never get out of crooked. They need to get into straight. Amen. And when you get into straight, you're a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Paul got into a place called straight. And you know, he was praying for and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And your Bible tells the same as mine. Special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. So he wasn't one of the 12. And Agabus wasn't one of the 12 either. And he was a prophet. And I remember studying how many there was in there. And I reached at least 19 that wasn't one of the 12. 19. That weren't one of the 12. Oh yes, you see, man's idea and God's word's two different things. But the word of God, now a lot of people of other things is absolute, that's all right. But our absolute has to be the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. We believe the word of God.
Amen.
It is hard to realize the supernatural, the 20 chances I told you. But around the turn of the 20th century, a new awakening concerning miracles and wonders and the power of the Holy Ghost was experienced among Christians in various parts of the world. And you could spend a whole evenings studying that and reading it. And you want to get, there's a book, Azusa Street Revivals, one of the best books you can get. And I'm going to say this tonight, if you claim to be a Pentecostal,
That's a book you need to be reading. Because there's a lot of other books people read and they should never be read. That's the truth now.
But that's a book that'll bless you. That's a book that'll inspire you. That's a book that'll make you turn back to this book, because they had the things that's in this book. Because God visited them. And God moved upon them.
I remember seeing a wonderful testimony of a wee old woman and a man. And as he related back to that time when the power of God moved and that wee blind colored man,
the anointing came off the very recording as they testified to it. Because God was still confirming the reality of what he done. Hallelujah!
Now I just want to look at a few New Testament scriptures on the healing and different things about the gospel which Christ told his followers to proclaim. And the testimony of the gospel to proclaim to the world. This is what Jesus told us. Let's look at the, I'm going to call it a compendium from the Bible. A compendium from the Bible. Quotations for encouragement of preachers, teachers, and all that's listening to the word of God tonight or will hear this. Acts 1. 1 to 2, and it's one of my favorite scriptures. I love reading the book of Acts. And you know what I'm going to tell you? If I just come here and got the book of Acts and read it, I'll guarantee you God would bless you. Because he'd bless his word. The former treatise have I made all Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. Hallelujah. Taken up. Just like Enoch, wasn't it? He was taken. It's like a brother John once said, we're not flying away, we're getting tucked. Taken. Amen. We're getting out of here. You'll not need a pair of wings. You'll be tucked. Praise God.
After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So he spoke to them through the Holy Ghost. Oh, that God would speak to every one of us through the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
This is still God's will today. Why? Because of 2 Corinthians 1:20.
For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. So he's still the same today. Acts 2:39, people say it's not for the day. For the promise is unto you and to your children. That's to the Jews and the Jews' children. And to them that's afar off, the Gentiles. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call, you and me. It's everybody.
And I know it's to everybody because the sheep come down before Peter.
Because Peter would not go to the Gentiles at the start. He was too holy. This is the same Peter who cursed the Lord and all.
Now he's going to make a decision who he's going to go to.
But God fixes him.
And he can fix me and you too.
Right. Amen. And we need that type of fixing.
Right.
Let us agree with that. The sheep come down before Peter and he's seen all the unclean animals. And he said, Lord, I've never taken anything common or unclean. And the Lord said, don't call what I've cleansed common or unclean.
Amen.
And then he went with a message to the Gentiles. And they were surprised that the Holy Ghost came on the Gentiles as well as it did on them.
Now I know you have some doctors of divinity and they take certain scriptures through the book of Acts, and I'm not going to get into it tonight, and they say,
the Lord withheld the Holy Spirit in that part. Now you want to hear the stuff a fella preached years ago, how the Lord withheld the Holy Spirit just to get his wee pat doctrine over. How God withheld it.
But if he had read all the other accounts, why didn't he withheld it? If his theory was right.
See, that was his own idea. That's like a man saying, if somebody speaks in an unknown tongue and interprets it, I'll believe it. Well then what would you do if somebody came in and it wasn't even real, just languages to learn? Would he believe it then?
But you know there's the real as well, no matter but the language is learned.
What about when you don't learn the language?
What about when you don't learn the language and God lets you know it?
Amen.
And you never learn it. And let you know every single thing that's said and you never learn a word of it.
And the next week if you're asked to speak in it, you wouldn't be fit to do it. But at the time when the Holy Ghost permitted it, God done it. And I can tell you God's able to do it. And you brothers know on the mission field testimonies where men have preached to people in a language they never learned. God supernaturally let them do it. That's the power of God. That's the book of Acts. Look at Colossians. Let's read Timothy first of all. 1 Timothy 1 verse 11 and 15. According to the glorious gospel of Jesus of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, this is a faithful sign and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So Paul was delivered from all that, and he preached the glorious gospel, and he said God confirmed it. Now Colossians 1, 20 to 23, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, and say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. The devil wants to beat a lot of Christians down. He'll not make it, you know. But this here says you have. This Bible says you're justified. The word justified means it's as though you never done it. That's what it actually means. It's as though you never done it because Christ took your place. And when you accept that, he takes you at your word, you should take him at his word. Amen. And if you do fall short, the blood lays there for you. It lays there for you. And if we walk on the light as he is in the light, by fellowship one with another, Epistle of John says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Verse 23, and if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which we have preached to every creature as under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister of the gospel. Paul was a minister of the real gospel. Signs followed it. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. There's a lot of people that are really adamant on the baptism. And look, we believe in getting baptized. But some people believe if you're not baptized, you're not even saved. When in did they not get saved under Paul's ministry? See, he can't do that. They were saved. They got baptized because they followed on the commandments of God. That's why they get baptized. And we're not saying don't get baptized. We're saying do get baptized. But if a man's not baptized, you cannot tell that man he's not saved. That man is saved. If he's believed in Christ and washed in the blood, he's saved. Water doesn't save him. The blood of Christ done that. Amen. Amen. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made an unoffence. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Power of God. Yeah. Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 2. God at sundry times, that's parts and parcels, wee bit at a time. That's the way he spoke through the prophets. And divers manner speak in time past unto the fathers for the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And there's an S on the end. So you cannot limit it to atonement because it says he made the worlds. Now there's a lot of people of different ideas, and I'm not going to window all what that world is, but look, if there's another world somewhere, he can save it as well. I needn't worry one thing about it. I leave that to the Lord. Amen. I have enough problems down in this one. But the Lord's getting us out of here. Amen. Amen. We're getting out of here. All these things that's going on. Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And I'm gonna come to close in a moment because I want us time to pray. And you can read all them, mark them scriptures, Acts 10:38, Acts 2:22. Them's all the scriptures that show you how Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:20. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. What about when I get away from the Lord? He's still with you. David says, where will I go? If I go to hell, he's there. If I go to heaven, he's there. Where will I go? God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. God is everywhere. Isn't that something? That's why he's more than just a person. Let me say that. A person's limited to somewhere, but God's not. He's more than a person. He's a supernatural being with supernatural ability, supernatural authority. He's Almighty God. Amen. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The devil tells, he'll tell you, he's told me many a time, the Lord's not with you. He's even sent our people to tell this. That's how good he is. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. But I'm here to tell you, brother, tonight the Lord's with you. I'm here to tell you, sister, tonight the Lord's with you. I'm here to tell you he'll never leave you. Even when you don't think you feel him. And I'll tell you another wee thing. If you tell him you love him enough, you will start feeling him. Amen. Amen. He's come near. Jesus may be sleeping in the boat, waking him. Amen. He was sleeping on the boat, going over in the storm, but they wakened him. And when they wakened him, he didn't disappoint. He spoke to the storm, and he calmed it. Amen. Maybe you're going through a storm. The Lord can speak to your storm. Awaken him in your boat. Call him on the scene. Stir up the gift within you. Call the Lord on the scene. And he'll change the whole thing for you. Isn't it good the Lord's with us? Look at John 14, verse 12 and 13. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. We know that that greater is more. Because you know God has a universal body all over the world. This wee fellas tonight, you know, in Africa somewhere, and they're leading people to the Lord. Amen. God's moving everywhere. Amen. We don't have a thing on God. What do you call that? You know, it's just us, and that's it. That's right. If you think that, you're blindfolded. God's working everywhere.
Amen.
There's sincere and genuine people all over the world, and God's working with them. A monopoly on God. We don't have it. Why? Because he's no respecter of persons. God will work where God's respected, and he'll work. Because I go unto the Father, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I'm reading one more scripture, we're going to pray. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Not in me, not in you, in him. Our confidence is in the Lord. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What is God's will? Testament's an old English word for will. So when you read the New Testament, you're reading the new will. The new will says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul does prosper. The new will says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. The new will says, call the elders of the church. Well, you can't do that today. That would break the rules. Seriously, but think about this evening. A lot of these rules is against Scripture. If you had enough faith, you could still call the elders. You'd maybe have to break some rules. But you could call them. I wouldn't worry one thing about it, personally myself. Breaking a rule or not, what about it? What about if a rule's made that you have to break the Bible to keep that rule? What will you do then? You'll have to break the rule. Or else disobey God. Rules is alright as long as they abide by this book. But when they don't, you might have to break them. People have broken before in the Bible. The children of Israel had to break them. God brought them out from it. And ultimately God's taken us out of here. Amen. Praise God. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire to him. We know he hears us. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
But if you believe it, God will let you see it.
Amen.
There's one for you. Amen. Praise God. I remember a fellow years ago said to me, Tom, you shouldn't get a mortgage, you shouldn't buy a car, and he gave me a big list. I said, there you are, brother. I says, well, I don't agree with one word of that. He says, why not? I says, because the children of Israel bored of their neighbors before they get out. Took all the gold they had out of them.
Yes.
Then they went. Never worry about a debt. You're getting, you're going. Glory, brother. Amen. We'll get raptured. Wouldn't it be great? Good, tell you. But what about when you turn the doorway around? How much they've robbed people. And people that's committed suicide because of it. Worrying over it. Worrying over it. And what about it? What about it? People's worried over things so much, they've killed themselves. But the Lord hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of truth and a sound mind. Let's come and let's seek the Lord tonight. Praise God. And if anyone's in need, you just lift your hand up and I'm going to pray. And I won't call nobody out or anything like that. That God will meet your need. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you promised us that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst, and you're in the midst to bless us. Lord, we haven't come in our own name or under our own steam, but we've come to uplift your name and praise you, Lord. And we're calling upon your name tonight, the name that's above every other name. Lord Jesus, I pray for the hands raised. You know every need. Everything that's needed, required. We lift it before you, knowing that we're in your will. Because your word says, bring your petitions unto the Lord. To the throne of grace, where you may find help in the time of trouble. You are our high priest.
Hallelujah.
Who's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And we come before you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we pray and meet every need of the hands raised. Even those that didn't raise their hand, if they have a need. In the name of Jesus Christ, meet the need. Answer prayer for that brother, that sister. Give them wisdom, give them guidance. In the name of Jesus Christ. We're asking you to move in our families, in our homes, in our children. On our loved ones, and the wife, and the husband. The aunt, the uncle, the niece, the nephew. Father, have your way, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. We do pray also for the family of the dear man that was sadly taken away the other night. We pray for the whole family that you'll comfort them at this time in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to represent you. Help us to display Jesus Christ. May we have you on display, we pray. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. We ask you for this Sunday morning, if thou wast tarry, that you bless Samuel and anoint him.
Amen.
With the Holy Ghost and fire. Give him a message from heaven. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Bless your people. Add to your work such as should be saved.
Amen.
And you may get all the glory and all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we commit it to you, and everything we've arranged to do or hoping to do, we commit it all to you and know that you will direct our paths. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Lord, if there's any tonight still suffering, Lord, in any way in their physical body, any side effects or colds or bugs or flus or COVID, Lord, you are the healer. Lay your hand upon them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and may they be whole, complete. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Think of Robert over in America again. His dear wife, Lord, I'm asking you for mercy that you'll raise him up to health and strength. In the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Lord, I pray also for a dear man that I was asked to pray for the day. Lord, you know his name and everything about him. I pray the word he heard will speak to him, move upon him, and he gets saved. And I pray you'll spur him and touch him as well. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord this evening.